Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, welcome back to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. And I have with me today American-born author Trish Nash. Now, before we get started, Trish, you've had a little expedition this morning of trying to make sure that you're available on this Skype call. Can you tell me about it?
Yes. Well, it's a bit challenging sometimes in rural Queensland with internet connection. So after a few stops at the library and around to a friend's house, I finally found a spot where I can get internet connection. So I'm very grateful for that today.
Okay. So I think you said you're in a shop. So, you know, if we're going to get all her customers ringing in at the same time, we'll have that in the background. So it's a good little warning though for us, isn't it? But I understand we're still waiting for our what are we waiting for? The national broadband to hit most areas of Australia. So the internet's not the best, but this is coming through nice and clear. So I'm looking forward to this morning's interview. And as I say, sometimes calling an interview, but it's not, it's a conversation. We're going to have a conversation this morning and find out a whole lot of great ideas. Now, you have a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology and Business Communication, and you got that from the Bowling Green State University. Now, that is not in Australia, is it?
No, that's in Ohio in the United States. Mm-hmm. So I've relocated over here about 12 years ago. So I've done most of my study in America. I did do 1 year of study abroad in Australia. So I've done my junior year at Griffith University, and I just fell in love with Australia, and I had to move back here. So I call Australia home now.
Very, very good. Interesting travelers from Ohio, but you're still in regional Queensland, so that's a rural girl coming out in you, is it?
Yeah, I grew up in the country in Ohio too. I'm a country girl through and through, internet or not, I'm still a country girl.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's a beautiful part of the world where you are. Now, you're a certified clinical master aromatherapist, Reiki and theatre healing practitioner, and you hold a certificate in small business management, aged care and children's services. Whoa, what an overachiever you are. Well done.
Well, I like to help different groups. So depending on the individuals that I worked with, whether aged care or disabilities, children, I always like to further my education in that area so I can provide the best service possible for them. So not only the practical knowledge, but then I like to get the educational information and backing to go along with it just so I can really help people in a more holistic, complete way.
Mm, that makes a lot of sense, actually, to do that. So, and you are a published author, you're a mentor, you're a public speaker, life coach, and you are a Terra Wellness advocate. I'm sure we're going to hear a little bit more about that. And you have over 18 years' experience as a practitioner, program director, educator, business owner in all the fields of aromatherapy, natural healing, disabilities, childcare, and aged care. That's what I said, overachiever. Congratulations. Well done.
Yes. Well, I always love to learn new things. I think if we stay stagnant, you know, we're not moving forward. We're not growing. And, you know, I just always like to stimulate my mind and gather information and be able to use that then just to help, you know, in general with whatever I'm doing.
That's really interesting. I'm much the same. And I had a conversation with someone the other day, and we were talking about them not knowing stuff, and I said, you don't know what you don't know until you know it. So the best way to know something is to go and get some information, and then you'll know it. And once you know it, you can't unknow it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, which is cool.
Well, knowledge is power.
It is, and what we do with it then as well. Now, you believe that giving back to the community is important, especially living in a regional rural area. So you volunteer Days for Girls Education, Queensland Scenic Rim Regional Council, aromatherapy treatments for the Churches of Christ Care, and the board member of the local community garden. Oh, you're a gardener as well. And you're also process of becoming a Red Tent facilitator to help empower women and support women in rural Queensland. So tell me about the Red Tent and the
So I'm quite new with the Red Tent. I was at the Woodford Festival people. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking with a lady at lunch, and she was telling me about the Red Tent. And I just became really excited that to have a forum for women to come together, to support each other. So I've checked into opening a branch, a Red Tent branch in Booner, to be able to access more of the rural areas, because the closest, you know, Ipswich and Jimboomba. So we don't really have one out in this area. And we should be able to launch one in July this year. Oh. So doing four sections of facilitator training. So we can do anything from, you know, chakras to dream boards, anything related to healing, aromatherapy. So, I mean, it's perfect to be able to share my skills and knowledge and help the greater community in that way and connect women together to empower that we have, you know, a voice. Even some of the things they do is women's rites of passage. So it's really connecting with who we are as women, our femininity, you know, community. So, I mean, I think it's super empowering. And living in a rural area, too, you can become quite isolated. Mm-hmm. So this is a way to bring women together that are like-minded and to support and encourage each other. So, I mean, it's, yeah, amazing. I can't wait to get into it further.
Oh, that sounds very exciting. I've actually written it down. I'm going to follow it up in my local area as well, because I'm not far from Jimboomba.
Awesome.
As soon as you mentioned that, I thought I'll definitely have a look at that. So in your own journey, though, of emotional healing, you fell in love with the Terra essential oils, and that's actually what gave birth to your book, Your Emotional Healing for Essential Oils. So so I'm going to say that's your passion now.
Yeah, well, I love doTERRA essential oils. I originally, when I started doing aromatherapy, I wanted to explore doing my own essential oils. You know, where would I source them from, harvesting, labeling, all of that. And with doing my research, I found doTERRA and the quality of the essential oils and the integrity and how they give back to the world and the communities around them with healing hands. I just thought, wow. They're doing every single thing that I would do if I owned my own essential oil company. So I started using doTERRA then, and now basically exclusively, because the quality is just amazing. But as it relates to my emotional healing journey, with doing emotional healing, you can do it without essential oils, but on my own personal journey, essential oils have just supported me and encouraged me. And it's kind of like you have someone holding your hand and saying, it's okay, we can look at this, you have this. And depending on what you're dealing with at the time, you can use different essential oils. So I've tied that in with my book of different chapters. So for example, when you're looking at emotions or body image, life scripts, I recommend certain essential oils that'll help when you're dealing with those situations. So in my own emotional healing journey, The book has mirrored my own journey. So every word of that I've lived and breathed. So when it's the chapter on self-sabotage, I was actually self-sabotaging myself. So those are the essential oils that I used in my journey that were so beneficial. And I mean, I couldn't even imagine, you know, have done that journey without the support of the essential oils. They're quite amazing.
And that sort of probably touches a little bit on as to your why you do what you do.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I felt really inspired and empowered, I guess intuitively, really, to write this book, because I thought, like, for my own emotional healing journey, I was just kind of flailing around trying to look at research and do this and, you know, look around for different places to how can I, you know, stop my monkey mind from driving me crazy, or how can I change my thought patterns, or why am I behaving this way? So the birth of this book was, wow, what a great idea or a way to be able to share this information with women to help empower that they have this guide that walks them through their emotional healing journey. And with the support of the essential oils, because a lot of times when we're when we're in not such a great place emotionally, we may be depressed or just really angry. We don't have a huge mental capacity to be able to go out and read 15 different books or go out and do a lot of research. And we may not want to ask our friends because you might feel like you're being judged. So with this book, it's perfect that you can just open it up and it starts right out of connecting with who you are as a person and how our experiences in life, life scripts, and all of that ties in to why we behave the way we do.
And that's something that a lot of people wouldn't have considered, that using essential oils. It, normally the thought is it's a purely a physical thing, but we're looking at it emotionally as well. Well, you're looking at it emotionally as well and tying it all together so that it's changing the thought patterns to create the physical comfort, so eliminating the dis-ease through thought patterns.
Yeah. Well, looking at it, you know, in more technical terms, I mean, when we inhale the fragrance of an essential oil, that goes directly to our memory centers in the brain. So it's where our stored trauma is. So it just makes logical sense that, you know, if you inhale this and within a second it's tapping into your stored memories, that that's going to help assist you with emotional healing.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So was that part of your journey coming to Australia as well, coming back to Australia?
No, that wasn't part of my journey coming to Australia. That I wanted to basically raise my children here. It was just such a lovely country and atmosphere, and just the people are amazing and the weather's fantastic. So I'm a little spokesperson for Queensland. I love it. So I moved back for my family, and then I think, you know, that's what's connected me with, you know, like-minded people, the people that I've met on my journey here in Australia. You know, I feel like I have, you know, I have two homes. My home will always be in America, but, you know, Australia also is my home.
I was just thinking about the weather for those that are listening that aren't living in the Southern Hemisphere in Queensland in summer. May not appreciate that it's over 100 degrees for about, you know, hasn't been for about the last 8 days or something. So I think we're a little bit better outside today. I haven't even ventured out to see what it's like. But and where you are is about 5 degrees hotter than where I'm sitting here in Brisbane. So I was talking to somebody in Spokane, Washington this week,
yes,
and it was the opposite. It was about minus 30. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but the snow was piled up outside. So yeah,
the weather has definitely been challenging with the heat. And yes, speaking with my family back home, it's always, you know, funny that it's opposite season. So whenever I'm sweating and it's so hot and going to the beach, you know, they're skiing and ice skating and it's snow. And then it's always, you know, the opposite. Well, not that we get a lot of snow in Southeast Queensland, but it's always the opposite seasons. But yeah, getting through the heat, I must say I'm a bit over the heat.
Yes. Yeah. I think autumn, bring on autumn. I think we've got a little while to go, but we'll see how we go. Now, I know there's a few topics that you are particularly keen that are, you know, your passion is what you're doing, and one of them is that self-love, you know, is being able to. So looking at that, how do you feel, you know, what do you feel are the main reasons that they have emotional issues for women in business particularly, because that's a lot of our audience as well, when it comes to self-love?
Yeah, well, with self-love, self-love is a huge issue for women and women in business, but it's how we feel about ourselves. If we don't love ourselves, then we don't feel like we're worthy to have success, or that if we don't love ourselves, we can't imagine that someone else is going to love our product or love our business. So even though it is quite a personal thing about how we feel about ourselves, all of this reflects into our world of business. How we portray ourselves, our confidence, maybe the risks that we take in business, it all goes back to how we feel about ourselves and even our success if we feel we're worthy. So, I mean, self-love not only will help in the business realm, it'll help in our own personal lives too.
Yeah, and it definitely is a stumbling block. I know with the women that I work with, if they haven't got that sense of self-love, that it's a really good terminology, actually, self-love, then it does. It comes through in all aspects of their life, and even the people they choose to be with and associate with, how their business is run and their personal lives as well.
Yeah, so it's all tied in together. So, I mean, that's one of, you know, with emotional healing, self-love is right there at the base, because if you don't love yourself, then you're not going to really care if you self-sabotage or what relationships you have, because at a, you know, core level of subconscious level, you feel that you're not worth it. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve respect. So it really affects everything. So when I'm working with someone for emotional healing, that is, you know, basically where we start, is how you feel about yourself and building yourself up to know that you're worth it and love yourself. So then you can go in to look a bit deeper and look at changing, for example, life scripts about how you feel, relationships and boundaries. So then that's the starting point. So for me, that's the first thing that, you know, should be looked at when doing emotional healing work.
So you've mentioned life scripts a couple of times. Can you just go into a little bit more depth and explain what you mean by that?
Well, life scripts, we all have life scripts running in our conscious and subconscious mind. So these can be positive things or they can be negative things. Usually the majority of life scripts are before the age of 5 that really determine how we feel about ourselves. And a lot of times they have such a major impact because before the age of 5, we really don't have the emotional intelligence to, you know, if someone makes a comment or talks to us or acts in a certain way, we can't mentally process that. So we store it away for self-preservation in our minds. So we don't have the ability to deal with it. So for example, some life scripts that I'm stupid, or we get life scripts from our parents, like, you know, money is evil, I can't do anything right. So we have all these things and we keep repeating them. So if you can imagine, these things happen early in life. And, you know, I've caught myself, how many times have I repeated in my mind over the years, you know, Trish, you're so stupid. Trish, that was stupid. Trish, you're stupid. And then you start believing that about yourself. And you behave, and for example, in business, oh, I can't do that. I'm just too stupid to be able to teach that course, or I'm just too stupid to do that. So as you can see, these life scripts, they not only play out in our personal life, but they can have a real detrimental effect on how we operate in business.
Absolutely. And that's something, you know, with that, with the children, isn't it, is to be very aware of what they take on from how you say it and what you say it. It's, and that was something that I was, you know, always on with my husband when he was disciplining the children. It was not who they are, it's what they've done that gets disciplined, as opposed to them not being stupid, that they've done a stupid action, but they're not stupid themselves, not personally.
Yeah, and then how can we look at that and change that behavior? So identifying the behavior and not having that attached to who that child is. But and also, I just wanted to add to that, because I don't want it to be about blaming parents. You know, our parents or even ourselves, we do the best we can at the moment with the skills that we have. So it's about being able to identify some of these generational life scripts and then to be able to move through them and, you know, move forward. But it's not about blaming our parents or blaming the school system. It's really taking ownership of, okay, this is where I'm at, and this is what, you know, I need to deal with, and moving forward.
And yeah, because what we, unless we can identify them and be and aware of them, as you said, you pick yourself up on noticing that you're saying that to yourself, we're sort of running on autopilot, aren't we?
Yeah, well, our subconscious mind plays such a huge role. Like, you know, have you ever been, you know, driving a car and you've driven a half an hour and then all of a sudden you're like, how did I get here? I don't even remember driving. Like, our subconscious, you know, it operates so many different things on an emotional level, on a physical level, your heart beats, you breathe, you don't have to think about blinking. All of these things happen. So, I mean, they're ingrained in our thoughts and operate without us even thinking about it. But, you know, being able to be more in tune, and I talk about it through the books, through meditation and affirmations and the different techniques that we can calm our mind and be able to then be aware of, oh, wow, why am I behaving this way? Or, oh, why did I just self-sabotage? I want success in my business. But why did I just do that? Because that's going to cause me to fail. So your true self of how you want to operate and be successful in business doesn't match up with the old life scripts. So it's going in and changing those life scripts, and it goes back to self-love. Do you feel you're worth it? Do you feel you're worth changing those life scripts? So it's quite complex, but it can be, you know, easy by just going one step at a time and moving forward.
So you can change those patterns.
Oh, most definitely. So, I mean, it's like when you repeat something over and over in your head. So I made the example earlier of, you know, I'm stupid. The amount of times I've repeated that, so the neural connections in my brain, they're well worn. That pattern, it's so easy for me to just snap right back into that same pattern over and over again. So we can start changing it one step at a time. So you have that thought come in your mind, I am stupid. Oh, wait, no, I'm not. Oh, I am intelligent. I'm smart. I'm a capable person. So we just start replacing those negative thoughts with positive thoughts. In the beginning, those connections aren't very strong, so they're easy to lose those connections and go back to the standard, I am stupid. So we just keep repeating over and over those new patterns over our lives, and then you'll automatically start thinking, you don't even think I am stupid. Like for me, that doesn't really even come into my mind anymore because I've rewritten the scripts to I'm intelligent. I'm a powerful, dynamic, intelligent woman. I'm a successful businesswoman. So we say the things over our lives and our thought patterns of who we want to be. If we repeat the negative things, then that's going to manifest in our life. I don't want that life. I want to be positive and be true with who I am, you know, an intelligent woman. So looking at those life scripts, just in all areas, I mean, the topic is so huge. And like I said, my book, Emotional Healing with Essential Oils, A Journey of Self-Discovery, it walks you through and gives you strategies and tips and ideas of how you can change life scripts and what to replace them with.
And so just getting onto that, so which essential oil, I can't imagine there's just one, but you know, which essential oil would you recommend just so that you can work on changing that self-sabotage?
Well, for the self-love, for self-love, I would say geranium. Geranium is the oil of the heart. So it really nurtures you and makes you feel loved and supported. Another one would be rose essential oil. Now, in saying that, rose is quite an expensive oil, and that's one thing that you want to look at is the quality of essential oils. So I have a whole chapter of that in my book, but it's utmost importance of the quality of essential oil that you use because we're doing this for medicine. So they mm-hmm. have a frequency. It's not just a fragrant oil that's made from a synthetic scent. So it's a big difference between therapeutic grade essential oils and, you know, just a $2 bottle of, I don't know what that is at the shop with it. But I would say my number one recommendation would be the geranium. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful oil to help you reconnect with your heart.
Just interesting, and it just popped back a memory. A masseur that I used to go to years ago, she would use. We'd select the oils, which one was needed on that particular time, and the amount of times that I chose geranium and the rose just by going the fragrances. So we would do them together as a mix. Yeah. So that just. Oh yeah, that's right. That's what I used to have in the massages. So that was yeah. And that was just really, some days you just needed it, not worrying about the muscles with, yes. with peppermint or pepper or something. It was just purely just let me just sit, lay back and enjoy this massage. So self-love, that explains that as well. Now, flowing on from self-love is that self-doubt.
Yes, well, that can be a huge hindrance in our businesses and how we operate. So, I mean, if we are going to make a business decision and we doubt our abilities, we doubt ourselves, our capabilities, you know, we're going to freeze and not be able to act or move forward. So self-doubt plays a huge, huge role in, affecting the way that we do business and operate in our businesses.
So that's really important with the business, is because I coach in sales training. So that's one of the things that people obviously doubt their ability a lot, because they're mostly uncomfortable with it, because I won't go into it, but they're trying to sell instead of building relationships, which it's all about. So the thinking, you know, if they fail, you know, that they're, I'm not good enough. Is that where you're coming from with that self-doubt?
Well, it can be more than just if they fail. So it could just be they doubt themselves because they don't feel they're worthy. They don't feel they deserve it. So, I mean, self-doubt can also come out of past failures. So it's really how we look at the things that happen in our lives. So even if we do have a business failure, so to speak, we can look at that and say, well, what can I do different? How can we grow from that? We don't have to let things that happen in our lives determine our future or determine how we feel in this specific moment. You know, we do have control over that. Sometimes I think we feel that, well, life's just happening to us and we're just react. Well, there actually is a different way to live. We can have more control over our thoughts, and we have control over how we view the world and whatever happens to us in whatever situation, how we want to respond to that.
Look, I just know that, you know, all of these topics, this self-love, self-doubt, self-sabotage and self-doubt, for women in business, we're sort of going, you know, the love first, isn't it? But we've got the sabotage and doubt usually first, as opposed to the love first.
Yeah, well, we don't really think about it too much. Like, you know, we think, oh, well, you know, people love us, or maybe we think people don't love us, but we don't look at self-love as a core. I mean, utmost importance. I mean, every day I give myself a hug. I physically wrap my arms around me and I give myself a hug and say, I love you, Trish. Mm-hmm. And it is so empowering to be able to connect with yourself on that level. And once you can feel that, then, you know, it just makes it so much easier when you self-doubt that actually, I am good enough. I believe in myself. I am worthy. We can, you know, it's not, you know, it's so easy to self-sabotage and doubt ourselves when we have these core beliefs about who we are. And like I said, it starts with self-love, but then we also build on that and can go even further to know that doesn't matter what happens to us or happens in our life, that deep down we know who we are and we know our abilities. You know, we may have a failure in business, but that's okay. What did I learn from it? Brush it off and move forward. I mean, the majority of, you know, all the successful people that you speak to in the world, you know, how many failures have they had before they had success?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does the self-love, you know, really impact women in business? Professional and personal lives, is there really much difference when it comes to that? Or is there a separation, or, you know, it's the same thing?
Well, self-love, it's how we feel about ourselves. It will come out in every aspect of our life. So in the business realm, how we discussed earlier, it can come out about, you know, if we feel that, you know, we deserve success, or that, you know, we'll portray, or it comes out like people feel energetically if we feel we don't love ourselves, but we're asking someone to love us as a coach or love what we do. And, you know, there's that disconnect. Mm-hmm. That we're not portraying that, or we don't feel that. And people can, especially, you know, working with emotional healing or natural therapies, it really is connecting with different energies and vibrations. So people can feel when you're not confident about yourself or without loving yourself. And then on a personal life, I mean, that's a whole nother story of self-love and the relationships that we pick, the behavior that we allow, how people to treat us. So that's, you know, another huge area. So it plays out through every aspect of our lives.
And so how do you suggest we look at our ability to love ourselves so we can actually move in that direction?
Well, a simple thing that you can start today, not tomorrow, right now, is telling yourself that you love you. Mm-hmm. So like I said earlier, I do every day is I wrap my arms around me and I give myself a big squeeze and a hug. And I say, I love you, Trish. I really love you. I love you, Trish. And then I attach the feelings of love with that. So when I first did it, I felt kind of silly. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm hugging myself. This feels weird, you know, but I don't believe it. But the more that you do it and then you attach those emotions of, you know, love, that is just incredible that I actually feel love. Like when I hug myself and say that, love just radiates throughout my whole body. It's really powerful and amazing.
And I imagine then when you're feeling that real sense of love of self, then you're not reliant on trying to find that sense from somebody else and putting that responsibility on them.
And that's a huge mistake. We cannot rely on anybody. It's not fair to rely on another person to make us feel loved or to make our lives better or to change how we feel about ourselves. No one can ever do that. It might be this false sense of, oh, someone loves me, so I feel worthy now because they love me, even though I don't love myself. But really, you're just setting yourself up for failure because nothing is permanent. That person could decide next week, well, I don't want to be with you anymore, and they leave. Well, how you were feeling about yourself is totally based on this other person. Mm-hmm. So then you're left to shambles. Oh, I'm unloved. It's, you know, it fits my life script. No one will love me. And this has just proven it because this person has left me. And so it really, like I said, everything's all tied in together with self-love.
And it does put the responsibility, you're putting so much load on somebody else and rather than accepting it for yourself.
And no one will ever live up to those expectations. And it's about when you learn to love yourself, then if someone leaves out of your life, you may be sad and miss that person, but it doesn't affect who you are at your core, that you are still empowered, you're still loved. You can move forward. You're not, you know, this wreck of a person because you feel unloved, that you create that within yourself. And I mean, it's just, it is so powerful. And it, you know, in your relationships, it takes away that neediness. And, you know, even that can push relationships away or people away out of your life. And that can be the same in business. You know, for example, if, you know, you're really needy, you don't feel loved, you need those, you know, confirmations from your customers that you are good enough or your product is good, and you're just so needy and you're pushing the sale, and then, you know, that desperation comes through in your voice and you want to sell the product because, you know, it's relying on selling this product for your self-worth, and oh my gosh, and the customer is going, okay, I'm going to slowly step away.
Or run very fast in the opposite direction. Absolutely.
You know, see their feet pivot the other way and they start slowly walking away. So, you know, it affects, you know, how we feel in business, but it's being confident. Let people come to you in business. I mean, I'm not saying don't market and don't put yourself out there and be positive and, you know, promote your whatever you're selling in business or your services. But if you're not looking for that validation and love from other people or other clients, then if someone doesn't want your product, well, that's fine. It doesn't affect who you are. That must not have been what they needed right now. And then just keep moving forward. And once we have these, we put this out into the universe. So how we think and like, how we think and feel about our business and ourselves, all that gets reflected back to us, to the customers that come into our lives, to the people that come into our lives. So it's like this big circle of energy of how we feel goes out to the universe and then brings those people and those emotions back to us.
No, absolutely. One of the things that I coach, again, in the sales is a core belief in your product. But this is, and that takes it down, is just that you just, if you don't believe in what you're doing, it's that love of your offer, really, no matter what it is. If you don't believe in that, then you're just flogging a product. It's a totally different thing. And I find a lot of the women who are coming out of corporate or coming out of a business where they're selling someone else's product, and then they're now selling their own product or their own training or their own service, it's a completely different aspect. And there's a lot more of that issues with self-sabotage and self-doubt when it's their own stuff than it was when they were selling someone else's product, because there wasn't that ownership on it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, they're personally exposed. So it's easy to, well, not necessarily easy, but to, you know, sell someone else's product. You don't have that emotional investment in that product. But when we're, as businesswomen, we go into our own businesses, these are usually our babies. You know, we're doing something that we're passionate about. You know, even with myself, with my book, you know, I'm exposing myself on a real personal level to be able to connect with other women who need, you know, emotional healing and to move forward. So it's a real, you know, the fear and the self-sabotage, and it's all linked together in the self-doubt, because now all of a sudden the spotlight is on you. This is your work. This is your product. These are your services. And if you don't love yourself or feel good about who you are as a person, then it's not going to come across, you know, your services are going to come across in a negative way, even though you don't want them to. Mm-hmm. But it's like I was talking before, you know, the energy of what we put out there, and people pick up on how you feel, your confidence level for your product or your services, and about how you feel about yourself is, you know, classic self-sabotage.
Mm, and then that goes into the choices we make, isn't it? You know, I know that you're much like me, that the believer that you are 100% responsible for the results of your life. So, and everything comes from a choice you've made at some time, and it's got you where you are at this particular moment in time. So that, again, is that sabotage, or that when you're placing that blame elsewhere.
Oh, yes, and that's easy to do, you know, with the self-sabotage. You know, I've found myself of, you know, I need to make that call, and I thought, oh, I'll just do it later. I'll do it later, or they probably don't want me to bug them, or, you know what I mean? And that's self-sabotaging. You know, when my intuition tells me to do something, now I listen. If it says, make that call, Trish, I'll pull over on the side of the road and I'll make that call. You know, and I've done that before, but I've argued, of course. It's like, oh, can I just wait till I get to town? My intuition says, Trish, pull over now. But for whatever reason, that person was open to me receiving that call at that time. Or, you know, I've even done that before and I got the last appointment. So, I mean, you know, when your intuition or your, you know, whatever you believe, your guardian angel tells you, you know, make this call or do this, you know, listen, don't procrastinate. And, you know, then blame that, oh, I didn't make that connection, or I can never meet anybody, you know, to help support me in business, or, you know, anything. And if we don't make the call, well, hello, you're not gonna make a connection.
It's 100% of calls not made don't work out.
Exactly. So it's, you know, what people think that, you know, that they're so scared of failure. But if you just looking at things in a totally different light, okay, so I'm not going to put myself out there and make that call for whatever reason in business, to promote my business or to, you know, try to get a booking, anything with regards to your business. You know, if you may fail, and there's a chance that you'll fail, but if you never make that call, you failed. Full stop. So, you know, if your self-esteem and you don't feel worthy and don't feel loved, and if that call of rejection is just going to tear you down, well, by not calling, you're already rejected.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, look at what do you have to lose?
One of my reps has a saying, he said, never drive past a sale. So, yeah, that just goes in and just never goes past asking that question, as you said. And so obviously that involves a whole lot of mindfulness then, doesn't it? So how would you suggest we practice mindfulness?
Well, mindfulness, the way that I practice mindfulness is through meditation. Mm-hmm. So we can do meditation in lots of different ways. And I go through, I guide you through several different types of meditation within my book. But we can do chanting. We can do walking meditation. We can meditate on what we're specifically doing at the time. So even washing dishes, you know, as we're washing the dishes, we can walk ourselves in our mind through exactly what we're doing. You know, wiping the rim of the cup, rinsing the cup, placing it on the drainer. So by doing that, it sounds like, well, why would I want to talk myself through this mundane task? But how many times have you been sitting there doing dishes and your mind is just going over and over the same patterns? I should have made that call, or I should have promoted that business different, or I should have did this. Oh, and we just sit there and loop the same unproductive thought pattern. So even by doing the mindfulness of where you're actually doing the task, your mind's not thinking of all that other stuff. So it gives it a break. You're living in the present moment, and that can help clear your mind to where it's breaking those habitual, constant, repetitive patterns that can control our lives.
And I must admit I'm guilty of not having been meditating as much, like, you know, sit down and meditate as much as I used to do a fair bit of it. But I am very much into the mindfulness. What I'm doing is what I'm doing when I'm doing it, and just being really aware. And people, I do a lot of different diverse things, and people ask me how come I don't get stressed or tired or lose energy. And I really put it down to I'm doing what I'm doing when I'm doing it at the time, and I'm not doing something else unless I choose to be thinking that way. So it's much that same, but without that having to go and sit and chant in a corner type of thing, what you're talking about, being aware of what you're doing.
Yeah, so living in the present moment. So that's what I mean, sitting and chanting, or just sitting there and meditating on a candle. I mean, that's not for everyone. So it's finding things that work for you. And even time, we're so time poor, you know, that we all are doing the dishes, we all watering the garden. You know, there's these tasks that we do every day that we can actually be meditating and not really realizing it. You know, because we're already doing the task. We're just in that moment, living in the moment, really.
Yeah. Now, we talked about the oils for the self-love, which was the geranium and the rose. Now, if I was looking for an oil for self-sabotage, to stop self-sabotage, what should I be using?
So for self-sabotage, I would use ginger essential oil. So ginger really brings back your personal power. So it holds you accountable for your behavior. So, I mean, in saying with the recommendations for the essential oil, you can't apply ginger essential oil and say, yep, my emotional healing work is done here, done and dusted. We do have to do the work for ourselves. The essential oils will support us. So, you know, by using essential oils in my own journey, you know, when I use ginger, it empowers me. I just feel, just stronger and that I can resilient. So they just bring up these feelings. I know I don't want to say, you know, support, 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 but they do support us in all different ways. And it's very personal of how they support us, because it depends on where you're at in your emotional journey and your willingness to open up. But definitely would be ginger essential oil.
Okay. And if we're looking at self-doubt, what sort of oil would you suggest there?
Yeah, so self-doubt, a lot of different oils. So it's kind of hard to pick one essential oil. So I know in my book I put in, you know, maybe 8 different essential oils that'll help with different sections, like the self-sabotage or you know, body image, things of that nature. So it's really what works specifically for you at the time, and different things work for different people. Mm-hmm. So with selecting the essential oils, so I mean, self-sabotage could be, sorry, I've just had a mind blank. All the self-sabotage, the self-love, the self, I think I called too many of them self.
That's so, I know you were talking earlier about bergamot.
Yes.
Yeah. With Lang?
Lang Lang. Yeah, no, Lang Lang? Lang Lang and bergamot. So you'll cut out that little bit that was me choking, right?
Oh, no, I won't. No, this is a fun. Look, this is the whole thing. It's all part of a, you know, a learning and being expert on something, on a particular field. We've covered so many topics this morning in the conversation. It just, and you've given so much valuable information. I love it. And look, everyone listening is going to go, love it. Absolutely. So.
Yes. Yeah, we all make mistakes and we're not perfect. So, yeah, no. Let's just keep moving forward.
We will move forward. So we're looking at bergamot and Lang Lang.
Yes, and I mean, bergamot and Lang Lang, the combination together is a powerhouse. This is one that I've always went back to over and over again. It's just, it's your inner child. It just supports you in so much ways. And the bergamot is uplifting and encouraging. And it's just, the two just really resonate, well, with me personally, on a level of looking at, you know, the self-doubt, the self-love, the self-sabotage, that it, you know, helps hold you accountable for your behaviors, you know, because like we talked earlier, we can just blame. Oh, it was because of this or this person or this happened in my life. And ultimately it comes back to us, and the Lang Lang really helps you look, you know, at who you are, your inner child, of who you are deep down at the core, not worrying about what life scripts or what you might think of yourself or what people might think of you. It just nestles down into who you are, that, you know, and no one can take that away from you and no one can change that. And it's, you know, we have a choice if we want to embrace who we are. And I know sometimes we get really scared. We think, oh, my gosh, I can't look at that. I mean, the number of women that I've spoken with that say, you know, especially with working with sexual abuse, and they have been sexually abused, and they just, I can't open that door. I just can't go there. But it's affecting their health. It's affecting their relationships, how they operate in their business. It's affecting everything. And they're just so scared to look inward because we think, you know, oh no, I don't want to see all these bad traits or these bad things about ourselves, which we have to change that mindset. It's not, we're not good or bad. It's, this is who we are. And then knowing, having that knowledge about maybe what patterns or behaviors that we do, if we don't like them, then we can change them.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant sort of takeaway too. Now, looking at just three quick points, if we were to summarize everything that we've spoken about this morning. Yeah. So summarizing, I know you were talking about just when you love yourself, you'll feel worthy of success.
Yes. I mean, loving ourselves goes back to the core of everything. So, I mean, if you take nothing away from today and are listening to this podcast, it's learn to love yourself. So, I mean, there's heaps of different strategies in my book, but you can start right now today with wrapping your arms around yourself and saying, I love you. It takes 30 seconds. So put all the excuses, I don't have time, I don't have the money. Well, you know, you get real with yourself. You do have the time and it doesn't cost any money.
No, absolutely. And I can imagine too, if you, to get that sense of love, as you said, it's a bit uncomfortable to do it first. If you think about something that you love, your child or your pet or your partner, I put partner last, that's interesting, but to draw on that sense of love, to be able to then internalize it.
Yeah, because, you know, if we don't love ourselves, we're not going to know what it feels like, you know, and that's what I had to do in the beginning is, you know, think of my children and the love that I have for my children is so powerful and so strong, that emotion. And then I just transferred those feelings and emotions over to myself. So then now I can generate those feelings of self-love. But sometimes we have that hard transition, but associating love that we have for another person, thing, animal, and bringing that over onto ourselves. And that's a real key too, is, you know, having the thought pattern that I love you, but then attaching that emotion. Because once you attach that emotion, your mind already thinks that you love yourself. Your mind doesn't know the difference. It's feeling that emotions, those chemicals of love and hormones, those are all kicking in your system saying, yep, you love yourself. You love yourself. So even if you're not to that point where you truly love yourself, your body already thinks you're there. Your mind already thinks you're there. It's powerful.
Yes, very powerful, isn't it? So first takeaway is that's how to love yourself. So sabotage, you're talking about doing a daily meditation as a tip for your self-sabotage, or deleting self-sabotage, I should say.
Yeah. So with self-sabotage, it's becoming aware that you're even sabotaging, you know, doing that type of behavior. And by clearing your mind and doing the daily meditation, that can help. And in saying that, it can be as simple as, you know, while you're doing the dishes, living in the moment and being mindful. Or if you're more comfortable, you know, you can walk and meditate. And each step that you take, there's breathing meditation. So, I mean, really finding what meditation works for you. So if you try one and you just think, oh, my mind just keeps going, I can't stop thinking, I'm just going to give this up, there's no use. It's going to take time even. So finding the type of meditation that works for you. And then, you know, you may only be able to keep your mind focused for 30 seconds the first time, maybe a minute the next time. And that's okay. So you don't look at, oh my gosh, I'm so terrible, I only did it for 30 seconds, I'm never going to get this. You think, wow, I'm so grateful that I was able to meditate for 30 seconds and then my mind caught that I wasn't meditating anymore. I'm so grateful. So, you know, don't look at how terrible things are. Turn your thinking around to, you know, wow, how wonderful. 30 seconds. 30 seconds was better than no seconds. So it's, you know, clearing your mind through whatever type of meditation works for you.
Yeah, that's a really good point about whatever you succeed, because I know a friend of mine just could never do it, and practice, and she can do it for hours and hours now, and she does it retreats and that. So yeah, it's quite that it took her a long time to feel comfortable. So that's a really good point. And then self-doubt, you talk about starting, you didn't mention it yet, but I know you were talking about starting a journal and just, you know, discover who you are through that.
Yeah, well, I find journaling is so helpful, because it's a way that you can express how you're feeling that sometimes you might be scared to express out loud, or fear of judgment. So your journal is a safe haven that you can just write whatever you think and whatever you feel. So you can just, you know, if you're having trouble thinking, oh, I don't know where to start, you know, just start free writing. Just start writing anything and everything that comes to your mind, or say that you you behaved a way that you didn't really necessarily like. You want to change that aspect. You can just start free journaling about it. And then that'll give you tips and clues of, okay, well, maybe this life script is coming, you know, coming into play. For example, in business, if it's money. You know, if you have a life script that money is evil, money is hard to come by, it's always a struggle to make money, I never have any money to pay my bills. If you constantly have this flow going in your mind of how you feel about money, well, that's what's going to manifest in your life. So these are things that you can identify by journaling, and they're actually written down. And then you can go, okay, this is what I think. How can I change that? You know, money easily flows into my life. You know, we can change all of these negative life scripts into positives that can have a real impact on our business.
Yeah. And it sort of answers the, you know, the quandary as to people who have extremely wealthy, they tend to continue to build more wealth. And even for some reason they lose it, they find it easy to build it again because they have that mindset. Whereas the opposite is as real as well.
Yes. I mean, if you feel that you don't have anything in life, you won't have anything in life.
Mm, Yeah, no. Look, this has been, I've just so enjoyed this conversation. Can you believe all that time's gone already? And just some wonderful information and just the way that you share it, it's very real for people to be able to look at themselves and just think about how their life can change. And obviously, you know, that the crowning glory of being able to do that is to do it then physically as well as through the essential oils. So I know your book is for sale. I know you're going to be having some workshops and things like that, but we haven't got any dates for those, so we won't share that now. But it'll be obviously be on your website. So your book, The Emotional Healing with Essential Oils, A Journey of Self-Discovery, is available for sale. I would assume that, Trish. Is that right?
Yes, it's available. It's $19.95, and it's available through my website, which is www.trishnashauthor.com. And and that's available in Australia and New Zealand. For international orders, I'm available in heaps of different countries, India, Japan, Europe, America. They're all on Amazon, so you can purchase them directly from Amazon. But for Australia and New Zealand orders, it's through my website.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to share just before we wrap up, Trish?
That has been a pleasure speaking with you, and I'm so grateful that I've had this opportunity to be able to share and get this message out, you know, to help empower business women, because sometimes, especially being our own business, being a business owner, we can be so isolated and, you know, we don't have other employers or coworkers necessarily that we can bounce ideas off or how we're feeling. So it's great to be able then to connect through these podcasts with other women and help empower and build them up in business to become successful, you know, to stand together as women and say, you know, we're a force to be reckoned with. That we are capable, we are, you know, dynamic, powerful women, you know, so it's, I feel so blessed that, you know, to have this opportunity, you know, to share my message, to help, you know, connect with other women and build them up.
Yeah, it's been my absolute pleasure. So that today we've been speaking with Trish Nash, and her book is Emotional Healing with Essential Oils, A Journey of Self-Discovery. Thank you very much, Trish. And I look forward to getting in touch with my listeners again with that next podcast. This is Janine Vosper. This is the We Are Women podcast, and it's conversations with successful women masterminds. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.